Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets. It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
Come on.
Welcome to Money Savage, a savage approach to personal finance. This is George Grombacher, and the time is right. Welcome to today's guest, the strong and powerful Toby Mathis. Toby, are you ready to do this?
Obviously, absolutely.
Excellent. Let's do this. Toby is an attorney and a founding partner of Anderson Law Group. He's on a mission to help investors and business owners keep and grow more. He's a member of the Forbes Real Estate and Finance Council. He's the author of several books and the host of a podcast as well. I'm excited to have you on. Toby, tell
thanks
us,
for having us.
Yeah. Toby, tell us a little bit about your personal life, some more about your work and why you do what you do.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm a rabid investor, and I became an attorney because I couldn't stand attorneys. It was really, really came down to it is that in business, attorneys tended to be deal breakers, and you know, all the attorneys out there are getting mad right now, but no, attorneys are great. As long as they're on your side and they understand what you're doing, and unless you've actually done it, so unless you've run a business, unless you've been an investor, and like I personally, myself and my partner own over 100 pieces of single family residence, SFRs, we own a ton of commercial buildings, we own a lot of real estate along with other investments, and we run a company with over 250 employees. Unless you've done that, it's really tough to advise people who are trying to get there. Because it's like anything else. If you don't do it, there's so many nuances that you miss. And that was my struggle when I became an attorney. Was I just found that a lot of the lawyers out there learn out of a book. And it's just not the same thing. So that's why I became an attorney.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And, you know, not only that, but certainly a lot of the people who are teaching people how to be successful in all these different endeavors have never necessarily done it on their own either. And so...
Oh, yeah.
You know, if you want to actually learn from somebody who's, why wouldn't you want to learn from somebody who's actually done what it is that you're trying to do? So I appreciate that.
Absolutely, George. And, you know, one of the funny things is, I mean, I had great mentors, and I always look at that. Most successful people had somebody that had walked that path before, or at least gave them some good guiding posts. Maybe not the exact same path, but, you know, had done something where they had pioneered a product or a service or gone off on their own and dealt with, you know, what it means to be an entrepreneur and what it means to be a business owner. And they've done that, and they give them some of the expectations so that you're not surprised by it.
Got it. So you're obviously a busy person. If you own 100 single residential units, you own commercial, you're running a company, but you're also doing a ton of training also. So it's got to be a passion, right? So tell me a little bit about this passion.
Yeah, that's rule number one, by the way, of just about anything. Every time I talk to somebody who's going into business, I said, you love to do it because you may be doing it for free. That's always always the kick. For those of you who had businesses when 9/11 happened, you know what happened to the economy right after that. For those of you who went through the dot-com bubble, just this last recession, 2007, 2008, there's going to be times when it's not all going to be gravy. And so you better really like what you're doing. Because you may be doing it without a lot of compensation at times. Now, you may get through your entire life and never experience that at all, but there's usually going to be some hurdles there that get up there in front of you. So you really want to be doing something that means something to you. And I have this awesome client. They own a chain of burger places over on the Hawaiian Islands in a few other places called Teddy's. Some of you guys know Teddy's Bigger Burgers, but like Teddy, if you talk to him about hamburgers, the guy is passionate about how you make a patty and how you should never let human hands touch it. Stuff that you would never think of. You and me would be like, yeah, frozen patty, throw it on a grill. Sure. Nope, never frozen, never touches human hands because the oil of the hand will change the flavor. Like weird stuff. Like you're like, holy cow, like you're really into this. And of course, you meet those people, and 10 years later, they're a phenomenal success. And I don't think it's a
accident, huh? Yeah.
It's just they're very passionate about stuff. So you can't replace that. That's like Yeah. And then if somebody just wants to make money and that's their passion, then they really don't care how they do it. All right. Then there's lots of things they can try, but you better really like the process and you better really enjoy getting into the weeds, into the numbers.
Yeah. Well, I think that that's 100% correct. And also, I think you probably can speak to how important expectations are when you're just getting started with some kind of an endeavor, because it's probably not going to happen overnight.
Yeah, it's, you know, you look at it as a journey. And so if you are doing something that you love, and anybody who's done sports, or I mean, I could use hiking. I'm a mountaineer. So like you go up a mountain, you don't just, you know, you could just start walking. As long as you're going up, you're going to get to the top eventually. That's what you keep telling yourself, right? When it really stinks, you're like, oh, 1 foot higher, you know, oh, I'm getting closer to the top, you know, but you know, there's going to be different routes. There's going to be things that get in your way and all that stuff. You got to look at it as like, hey, that's kind of the fun of it. You know, in business, sometimes you want the challenge. If it was all easy and it was super easy, everybody'd be doing it. Well, the people that get rewarded the most are the ones that usually do stuff other people don't necessarily want to do or can't do. And, you know, there's certain things that you could do that you could just put on autopilot. Like real estate to me is an autopilot. Like if you have a good property manager, or in the stock market, if you have a good money manager, it's just not losing. Like if you can just eliminate the loss, you're okay. And so if you have somebody watching out for your backside, you can do that. Same thing in the tax world. Whenever I'm a tax lawyer, so I'm always dealing with how do we keep from giving up too much of our revenue? How do we keep from getting hit by a crippling tax? Just so that we can keep, you know, keep on moving on. And it allows me to do what I really am passionate about. Like for me, I love to teach. I love to teach. I love to go out and talk to investors. I love to work with people all over the country. It's a lot of fun all over the world. I've traveled all over the place working with people. That's a lot of fun. But I have to, you know, cross my T's and dot my I's to allow that to happen.
Yeah, that's it's one of those things, right, where you are just immersed, mired in the day-to-day operations, trying to get your business to be profitable, trying to get some cash flow coming in, that you're probably more apt to be letting the small details go. And what will probably be the result is maybe paying a little bit too much in taxes.
You know, the biggest one that I've seen, and I live this, I worked with a mentor, Jerry Getty, who's a great guy out of Seattle, Washington. He's since passed, but you know, he'd been in business for 30 something years and his books were a train wreck. Every time I looked at his, like, what are these corporate documents? And it's like a manila folder with three pieces of paper in it. Yeah. The thing that usually trips up businesses is the bookkeeping side, the tax side. That's usually what trips them up, or they're set up wrong from the inception. You know, they go to Legal Doom or one of these places where that was mean to me, LegalZoom, where they go online and they create something but they don't understand the implications of it. And so, George, I'm just going to assume that you're an RIA, so you're probably a fiduciary. I'm a fiduciary, which means I'm supposed to put the client's interest first. And when I talk to somebody, I'm looking into the future for them, saying, all right, what's going to be best for you? And it's, you know, I always liken it to going into the butcher shop and asking the butcher for advice on what your menu should be. They're going to tell you to eat a lot of meat, right? Might not be the best thing for you. Whereas then there, you go to a nutritionist or you go to a doctor and they're going to say, hey, eat some leafy vegetables there, you know, amigo. Don't just eat steak every night. And I always look at myself as the nutritionist. You got to tell people what they may not want to hear. Hey, you got to keep good records. You got to keep good books, because if you don't, it could kill your business. If you don't, you won't know when a problem is happening. If you understand your financials and what they're telling you, you can apply this to any company. Like when I look at the stock market, I'm always shocked that people chase after companies that are paying out more money than they're actually making to their shareholders. Like they're doing some really weird stuff where it's like obvious that's not sustainable. And you're like, why are you investing in that? And it's because, well, my broker told me. And it's like, oh my goodness. You know, so if you learn to do some of the basics in your business, you can apply it to everything.
Got it. Well, I appreciate that very much. So I think that, well, I think there's probably a lot of people out there who would like to not pay any tax at all. But probably the majority of people want to pay their fair share, but not a lot more than that. So how can people go about legally and ethically minimizing the taxes that they're paying if that was something they were interested in?
Well, so first off, the idea of not paying any tax is great from a purely tax standpoint. like I've actually been there. My partner, Clint and I, partner in business. I have an adult daughter who just graduated from college. And I remember when we got started, we didn't even have kids yet. You know, my wife and I, we like to travel around. Clint's wife, but we got in. We didn't pay any tax those first 3 or 4 years because there are incentives in the tax code when you're starting up a business in certain things you can do to allocate expenses early. So there's things called accelerated depreciation or bonus depreciation. There's all sorts of things where you could actually acquire things for your business and write them off even though you haven't paid for them yet. But the downside to that is it really hurts your growth because you look like you're not making any money.
Right.
Which makes it really tough to grow a business when you're looking for loans. And so I always caution people to look at their business really through three lenses. You want to look at it from an asset protection lens. Make sure that somebody cannot take away your business. Make sure that if something goes wrong in the business, it doesn't follow you around the rest of your life. So that means using an entity like an LLC or a corporation to isolate the liability. Then you look at the tax side and say, hey, do you need to show income? Do I need to show money? Maybe I need to have a W-2 income if I'm buying a house. Well, that's not going to happen if I'm being a sole proprietor or even if I'm being an S-corp. They're going to be looking at that S-corp return. They're going to be digging through your financials. And if you're doing the third leg, which is like I'm doing tax reduction all over the place, they're going to say, hey, wait a second. It looks like you're failing in your business. You're going to say, no. I'm just playing some tax code. You know, I'm just not paying tax. You know, they're going to, you know, hint, wink, wink, and they're going to deny your loan. So there really is a third side to that, which is the business side, which is what guys like me do for a living. It's we sit there and say, yeah, I could get you to zero. If you want to pay less in tax or zero taxes, become a real estate professional. It's really easy. You just have to go buy as much real estate as humanly possible and allocate all of those, all that depreciation on your return and make it ordinary loss by becoming a real estate professional. It's like there's ways to do it to where you can quite literally offset millions of dollars a year. Our president has done it using conservation easements. There's all sorts of tools out there that prevent you, that can keep you from paying tax. But the flip side to that is your business will never grow again. Like you just removed yourself from the ability to have growth. And so you really have to be looking at it saying, do I really want to pay zero tax or do I want to control my income and what I show to make sure that I look the way that the parties that I need to be doing business with. So my banker, maybe a private lender, maybe I have angel investors. Maybe I need to make myself look the way that makes them comfortable so that they're willing to part with their money to allow me to grow.
Well, I appreciate that. So, and that's not an easy thing to kind of figure out on your own, right? Which is where professional advice would certainly come in.
Yeah.
Because
that's right. I say you got to do it with somebody who's done it. It's really tough. Real estate's no different. If you're an investor, you better make sure that you're working with people that have actually invested. If you're in the stock market, make sure you're dealing with people that understand the stock market. And I always look at like Kobe Bryant was the big guy. Now it's, you know, it's King or James. But I always look at it and say I would never have wanted to go head to head with LeBron James. I would not want to play basketball against him because he'll whip my butt because he's a professional at it. And then these people jump into the stock market and they want to be a professional trader. And I'm like, yeah, you've been doing this for 6 months. The people you're going up against have been doing it for 30 years and they're going to eat your lunch. They're going to head fake you. They're going to do all sorts of things. You always want to have somebody on your side that has that experience.
Got it. Yeah, I think that makes sense. So it's just having a good understanding of where you are in the business cycle and where you're going to be in the future and taking into consideration that, yeah, you maybe want to reduce some of your tax liability today, but you're going to need money probably at some point if you're looking to scale. So you need to take that into consideration as well. Got it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. So folks who are thinking about getting into real estate and they're listening, they say, okay, this sounds great. I would like to own 100, you know, single family residences. How would you count? But let me take a step back. But they're working a full-time job and they have pretty good income. So they're looking to just ease into it. How would you counsel them to get started?
Well, the first thing is you never want to harm. So I run off of a real simple philosophy. I want assets that pay me more than I'm paying for them. So I actually teach a funky little course called Infinity Investing. And the premise is this: how many days could you live without working? And so you have to look at rents, royalties, dividends, interest, and capital gains. You look at passive income sources and you say, how long would they allow me to live based off of what my burn rate is? I don't want to bleed down my assets when I'm 80, figuring that I'm only going to live to 86 because I might live to 120 and right. All of a sudden I've outlived my money. So I look at everything through that kind of philosophy. Is it paying me more than I'm paying it? And that's an idea of an asset. An asset will feed you and a liability will bleed you. So if I'm looking at real estate, I'm looking for cash flow real estate. I'm not looking for appreciation because my intent is to never sell it. If I'm buying something, it's a revenue source for an eternity. So if I buy a rental property, I'm telling people, look at something that you're going to keep for 100 years. That's what I would be looking at. And it takes you away from about 90% of the market and puts you squarely within the areas that are cash flow. So you end up in Indianapolis, Kansas City, Memphis, Charlotte. You're going to be in different cities. Houston was a great one for us, Oklahoma City. Lots of little places where you'd never think, hey, this is where I really want to be investing. Because a lot of people think, oh, I want to be in a hot market. I want to be in Seattle or San Francisco. Well, you're never going to get cash flow off of that. So you're going to end up burying yourself trying to buy it. I mean, you're there in Phoenix and you saw what happened in 2007-8. People jumped into that market figuring that the appreciation was going to be there. Oh, my house is going to go up in value so much. It's going to be great.
Right.
Well, sometimes the market doesn't cooperate, but the rents are always there. You know, there's always people that need a place to live. And it's just a matter of how much, is there a vacancy rate in that city? Is there a good job market in that city? If it does fluctuate, it's usually single digits, things like that. Will I still be able to survive and carry this thing, even if it's not going perfect? And that's why I encourage people in their investing is A, make sure it's cash flow, and B, for example, if I have a W-2 job and I buy a little rental, make sure it's in an LLC so it does not, like if a tenant falls down the stairs, you don't start getting garnished out of your regular life wages. You can isolate that liability to simply that one property. And that's how you build up conservatively. You get great cash flow. And if you do that for 10 years, you'll probably be retired.
Yeah, I love it. Well, Toby, Savage Nation is ready for your difference-making tip. What do you have for them?
The biggest tip I would say is assume control. The number one, and this is study after study, the number one difference between the rich and the poor is the rich believe that they have control over their finances. And so I would train myself, if there was one tip I would give people, is wake up every morning and say, I actually have a lot of control over my own finances. I'm not subject to somebody else's whim.
Well, I think that is great stuff. That definitely gets a come on.
Come on.
Toby, yeah. Thank you so much for coming on. Where can Savage Nation learn more about you?
Oh, easy. You could either go to Anderson Advisors. Actually, I'm just going to tell you, just go to Anderson Advisors. Anderson with an O, advisors.com. You could Google my name, Toby Mathis. I'm all over the place. I record and I put a lot of material out there. I teach something called a Tax Tuesday every other Tuesday. It's free. You can go on and ask any tax question you want. It's in a webinar format, but you'll see we answer about 200 questions. I don't want it to say it's just me. I bring a CPA who turns green and hides under the desk the whole time because he hates talking to the public, right? You know, they're always like introverts. But I always bring along a CPA, and we have a lot of fun answering any question you can conceive of. So you're not paying $300 an hour to have somebody guess. You know, we're actually going to go through this stuff. And so there's lots of ways to get plugged in. We're a big education firm. So and a lot of that stuff you can get for peanuts or for free. And you could start down that path of empowering yourself.
Love it. Well, Savage Nation, if you enjoyed this as much as I did, show Toby your appreciation and share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Go to AndersonAdvisors.com. Check out everything that they're working on. Get on one of those Tax Tuesday webinars every other Tuesday and get your tax questions answered. That's an awesome resource right there. Thank you again, Toby.
My pleasure.
And until next time, keep fighting the good fight because we are all in this together. Before I go, quick announcement. I've been asked by so many people over the past couple of years about How Do I Start a Podcast that I've developed and released a course that will teach you exactly how to do that step by step, from figuring out the kind of show that you want to have to understanding how all the technology works behind it, and then how to get great guests and keep the thing moving and how to grow it. So if you're interested in that, check it out. You can go to georgegrumbacher.com/podcast course and you'll find it there. You can just go to the website. I'll also list that in the notes of the show.
What's up, Savage Nation? Please support the show by subscribing, leave us a review, and definitely feel free to share us with somebody you think would like it.
Come on!
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets.
It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
This episode of Unfiltered is brought to you by Google Gemini. U.S. college students get Gemini's Pro plan free for 1 year and use the best model in the world for multimodal understanding. So whether you're uploading a video to get feedback on your presentation, uploading a photo of your homework to ask for extra help, or transcribing notes from a lecture you missed, Gemini 3 Pro can help. I'm honestly so happy and excited for all the college students out there, because I wish this was around back when I was in school. This is such a game changer and so useful. I'm honestly a little jealous. So if you want to try it out, sign up to get more access to Google's most accurate model, Gemini 3 Pro. Unlimited image uploads, pro-level image editing, higher limits in Notebook LM, Gemini in Gmail and Docs, 2 terabytes of storage, and more. All you have to do is visit gemini.google/students to learn more, and sign up. Terms apply.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to chumbacasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.